Sounds like the little ones are already riled up today. So since this is easy for me to do because I'm preaching, I'm going to say, all you dads out there, y'all going to have to help out since it's Mother's Day to keep these kids in line, not acting crazy. You know, we don't realize week after week what mothers do, especially those of us who have the conviction to have our children in a worship service with us. You don't realize what mothers have to do every week. There's some weeks I get home and I'm like, hey, what did you think of the sermon? And Aaron's like, you know, I didn't really get to hear it today. So that's my encouragement to you guys today. Kids, y'all yell and scream as much as you want to, okay? We'll be just fine. We're going to be in 1 Samuel today. We're stepping out of our Revelation series. I'm trying to open my new Bible without tearing something. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'm going to be... Hey, Paul, I'm getting a little bit of a hum. Is there anything we can do? Is that better? That's a little better? Yeah, okay. All right, good deal. Well, obviously, we're going to be talking about mothers from the text of Scripture today, leading us to Christ. And you know, I think it's worth my time to stand before you and again say that without the ministry of my mother, I would be. It's no telling what I would be doing, what I would be like. I know that when nobody else was praying for me, my mother was praying for me. You know. When nobody else was caring, my mother was caring for me. In all the ways that she met my needs, she showed me truly and spoke truly of the God that motivated her to be the mother that she is. And she is that today. As we think about our mothers, I want to... open this text together. I want to, for those of you who are, you know, thinking about your own mother, praising God for what God has given you. But then, on the flip side, I especially want to speak to you mothers today. So as we get into it, my title, it's not on your bulletin because I just came up with it a little while ago, Successful Motherhood. Successful motherhood. I want to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And the backstory here, you may be familiar. Hannah desires a child. She's seen this other woman with all these children, and she is she's in turmoil because she doesn't get to contribute what she sees other women contributing. Why can't I have children? And she is messed up about this, and she is praying at the temple to the point where the priest thinks she's drunk. He thinks she's drunk because she is so messed up about this. She deals with her issue, though, as we're going to see, and then offers a prayer, a song in chapter 2 that is beautiful. Let's read 1 Samuel 2. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces against them. He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Let's pray. Father, again, we come. We need your help, God, to know your word, to know you, to apply your word, to be like Christ. Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Spirit even now that is working in our hearts to make us more like Christ. Help us now with his illumination. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, undoubtedly, we get together on Mother's Day and we set up mothers as sort of on a pedestal. We put them on a pedestal. We praise them for what they're like. We praise them for the ways they serve us. And the worst thing that we can do, though, with a text of Scripture is to aim our vision and our thoughts toward mothers and not toward Christ. So when we read about somebody like Hannah, who was in fellowship with the God of the Bible. She was in fellowship with her God. When we read about her, we don't want to set up Hannah and say, hey, moms, we want you to be like Hannah. No, because Hannah is a sinner. She's a fallen sinner. No, but what Hannah does, by God's grace, is point us to Jesus Christ. So Hannah is a signpost. Hannah is a reflection. So moms, today, don't look at Hannah. Look at Christ. Now, children, the same is true for you today. Mom is not the answer. Mom is not the end. Mom is not the exalted one, but your mom, your mother, is a signpost, a reflection of Christ. So children, don't look to mama, look to Christ. Now, we start talking about this, as I mentioned earlier, if you have had a bad mother, I want you to consider what the Lord has provided for you in the local church. You got bad memories of your mother? Who knows? Anything from abandonment to abuse or whatever it is. If you've got that stuff in your history, God has been gracious to give you all these that surround you. This is what we are. This is who we are as the family of God. These women tell a better story with their lives. So as we look in this passage of Scripture, I want to remind you of the situation. You look back at chapter 1 and you see Hannah's turmoil. You see Hannah's looking upon Peninnah, who has several children, and she's desiring this, and she wants to serve God, and she even says, God, if you just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And so her prayers at the beginning, her struggling at the first is, I mean, it really is a struggle. It really is turmoil. Chapter 1 of verse 15 says, after she was accused of being drunken, Hannah answers, says, no, my Lord, I'm a woman with troubled spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. This woman has been bearing her soul before the Lord. If you move ahead a little bit to 18. He sort of blesses her in some sense. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, verse 18, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate. And get this, her face was no longer sad. Now, oftentimes we read this passage, and you may have heard it preached in terms of almost like Hannah made a deal with God. And the bad part about that is if you read it that way, then you're going to think, well, if I want something different in my life, then I'm just going to make a deal with God like Hannah did. That's not what happened. I want you to see very clearly from the text that Hannah dealt with her issue. She dealt with her lack of children before she conceived and gave birth. She settled in her heart that she would not be enchained by her childless state. And that makes me wonder about contentment, especially in our society. You know, we have an uncanny ability to turn every situation we're in into a slavery to discontentment. Chains of barrenness or chains of motherhood. Y'all been there, right? You see people with children and you want children. Then you get the children and you want the freedom of the people who don't have children. No matter how you look at it, you can turn your situation into a state of discontentment and enchain yourself to that. That's where Hannah was. I got to have children because that's the only way I'm going to have purpose in life. That's the only way I'm going to have meaning in life. That's what she was thinking on the front end. And then she came to the conclusion that I'm going to walk away and be content in what God has given me. And then he answered her prayer. So child or no child, ladies, I hope that you see, you know from Scripture that you were made for more than giving birth and tending to children. That is not the core of your identity. Do you see with spiritual eyes the children in the faith? You may look around, see mothers in the church. Mothers, can you look around and see children? Women, maybe you're not a mother. Can you look around and see spiritual children in the faith? Do you see the spiritual orphans in the world, just waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, waiting to be brought into the family of God? You may be someone's mother, maybe not biologically. In God's gracious plan, he granted her request, and the child did come. And the song that we just read is a response to God's grace. It's a response to God's goodness. So the theme this morning, y'all as hot as I am? Yeah, I see some fans going. All right. The theme this morning, success in motherhood, awaits the mother surrendered to the Lord. Success in motherhood awaits the mother, we may say, who is surrendered to the Lord. Now I want to define success specifically here for a Christian mother. The success for a Christian mother comes through a faithful reflection of Jesus Christ. Success for the Christian mother comes through a faithful reflection of Christ. So my charge today to you mothers is to show us Christ. Show us Christ. Beyond the ways that you care for us, the ways that you love us, beyond the laundry baskets and the dirty dishes, or however your motherhood works itself out, beyond that, show us Christ. I hope today, as you hear the word preached, mothers, you are excited again about walking as a mother in this world that is devoted to Jesus Christ. I want to give you from this text four characteristics of a mother reflecting Christ. Four characteristics of a mother reflecting Christ. You look at verse 1, and we see number 1, the Lord is her strength. The Lord is her strength. We see Hannah's example here. The Lord is her strength. It says, my heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Ultimately, her strength, this word horn here is strength. It's the picture of strength. Ultimately here, her strength does not come from motherhood or anything else, but from the Lord. Do y'all recall in those 10 verses, did she even mention her son? Was she thinking about her son? No. She has set her thoughts on the God who has given generously. Now, I do run the risk of offending some, but I look around in our culture and I see a prominent idol for moms, and it's their children. Moms, you've been given a unique stewardship by God in your children. They are to be nurtured in the Lord and trained for His glory. Yet what I often see is passed off as love for children is actually worship. If your purpose, if your identity, if your value are all rooted in your children, then you have exchanged the worship of the Creator for the worship of the creature. Now, one way we combat this as a church is by dedicating babies, right? We got a few that have yet to be dedicated. So what do we do in dedication? We often think of it in terms of the baby. I would say it's more about the parents. We stand up here and we have parents say, look, I'm committing to raising this child, nurturing them in the Lord, training them in the ways of Christ. So parents get up here and they pledge their little ones to the Lord, just like Hannah did with Samuel. The responsibility is great. You will need strength, but that strength must come from the Lord. It cannot come from your motherhood or your children. You notice her words here. She talks about her heart. She talks about her strength. She talks about her mouth. This is her whole being, nourished in the Lord and sustained by Him. And verse 1 ends with this rejoicing in salvation. See, Hannah had victory because of the long and strong arm of the Lord. The right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, reaching into our sinful state, embodying grace and truth. Hannah saw this. She looked upon Him. We, in the same way, look upon Him. We turn to Him as the only begotten Son of God. And with Hannah, we would see His nail-pierced hands. We would see the empty tomb, and we believe. Hannah rejoiced in her salvation, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But Mom, in all the exhaustion of motherhood, what are you doing to find your soul nourished in the Lord? How are your thoughts of Christ strengthening you day by day? Mothers, you can be strong because the Lord is your strength. If you want to show us Christ, then let Him be your strength. Number one, the Lord is her strength. First characteristic. Number two, verse 2. The Lord is her rock. The Lord is her rock. She says there is none like the Lord, not holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Now, how many of you mothers on this Mother's Day, you're going to go drink your coffee this afternoon in one of those mugs that says, world's greatest mother, right? You see a problem with those mugs because, look, if your mom has one and my mom has one, they can't both be the greatest mother in the world, right? So we can fight about it, right? We can compare, right? Well, my mom does this. My mom's better than your mom. We can compare mothers. What we see in the scripture here is that we have a God that we cannot compare with anything. He is incomparable. There is none like Him. Psalm 113, 5 and 6. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? Psalm 86, 8. There is none like You among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like Yours. Listen to Isaiah 40. 18 through 23. To whom then will they will you liken God? Excuse me. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it. A goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out skillful craftsmen to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. This is our God. He is incomparable. He must be your rock, mother. Hannah's thoughts certainly could have been dominated by the thoughts of Samuel. Man, I wonder what Samuel's doing now that he's working, you know, in the temple. Now he's devoted to this. Now he's so far away. I wonder what he's doing. I wonder if he's okay. Let me write a song about how Samuel's doing and how much I love Samuel. No, her thoughts were resting on God. The testimony of Scripture here is that her meditations were focusing on the unchanging character of God, his holiness, his uniqueness, his faithfulness. Rock. He is her rock. Now, several years ago, there's a reason why I don't like to canoe now. Because several years ago, probably a decade ago, I was in a canoe with a young man on whatever common river it is in Arkansas to canoe on. And, you know, canoes are a little unsteady. So if you get your weight distributed wrongly, then you may flip over. And I think it's the Spring River. Is that right? Spring River? Yeah. I think that's where it was. And there are little bitty rapids on. They can't even be called rapids. Little bumps in the water, you know. And I was with a guy who, every time the canoe got a little unsteady, he would just bail out. And the whole thing would flip over. Now, it could have been me the one that was causing the problem, but I'm going to blame him. He would always be the first one out the boat. See, he would bail out. He would jump ship, literally, if something got just a little unsteady. But moms, this past week, this coming week, something is going to happen to you in your life. Maybe even today, where you're going to have to make a decision. Something is going to rock your boat. And either you will be tossed around emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and you will bail out, or you will remember the goodness of the Lord and the gospel, and you will steady yourself at the thought of him. Is this not the process, mothers, that we go through, that you go through as Christians? Week in and week out, there's always something that wants to get you unsteady, but you must focus on the Lord, who is your steadiness, who is your rock. With all the instability in the world, mom, how will you maintain that stability in the rock that is our God? So mothers, you can be steady because the Lord is your rock. Amen. Amen. So if you want to show us Christ, then let him be your rock. So that was number two. The Lord is her rock. Verse two. Number three. The Lord is her redemption. The Lord is her redemption. Verses 3 through 8 cover this idea. One thing that's oftentimes fun about children is they learn to do stuff and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, they'll come to you and say, hey, look what I can do. And it'll be like, you know, you can jump 2 or 3 inches off the ground, something like that. Look what I can do. We come to the scriptures and the last thing we say to ourselves or to anybody else is, look what I can do. Verse 3 reminds us that we have nothing to boast about. Here's what it says. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. From Peninnah, who boasted about her children, to Hannah, who could have written a beautiful song about how blessed she is to have children. And the reminder is the same. The Lord did this, not you. The Lord did this, not you. Therefore, to talk proudly and speak arrogantly is to invite God's piercing knowledge to throw you onto the balance and be weighed. And I got news for you. The scales will always show that you are lacking. You don't have what it takes to rescue yourself. There are not enough good works in the world to save you. There is not enough strength in the world, recognition in the world, exaltation of the world. We will never be able to offer anything man-made about which we can boast before heaven. Nothing. No, look what I can do. But look what God has done. We need the Redeemer. Mothers, you need the Redeemer. You need the Lord's lavish grace. You need the Lord's redemption. And so she illustrates this in the next several verses. I'll just summarize them. Verse 4, she talks about these sort of reversals here. Feeble and mighty, verse 4. Hunger and plenty, verse 5. Barren and fertile, verse 5. Dead and alive, verse 6. Poor and rich, verse 7. Low and exalted, 7. Needy and princes, pillars, verse 8. And I read through this and I think, man, those elements, don't they describe the work of the gospel? Don't they describe life in the kingdom, the values of the kingdom? So when I read this, this woman's song shows me that this woman understands the kingdom of Christ. She understands her redemption. These reversals are all tied up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what he did. The answer to the struggles of a mother, or just women in general, is not radical feminism. The answer is the kingdom of Christ. In Christ, in his kingdom, mothers, you are exalted, you are honored, you are prized, and all the services rendered unto the king will be rewarded and celebrated for all eternity. But the birth of Samuel tells a bigger story. The birth of Samuel tells a better story. Hannah, defeated, experienced the miraculous reversal brought by the Lord. She certainly rejoiced in giving birth. But there was a greater reason to celebrate. It was the redemption, the salvation of the Lord. And there's another song in Scripture offered by another mother, a mother whose baby boy was also devoted to the service of the Lord. Hear what she had to say. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. In the spirit of Hannah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, praised God for the redemption that would come through the Son, Jesus Christ. Two women rejoicing in salvation, in redemption. Mom, do you see your motherhood in that light? Do you see your motherhood in light of redemption? Mother, you can press on because Christ is your redemption. If you want to show us Christ, let him be your redeemer. The Lord is her redemption. Fourthly, finally, the Lord is her aim. The Lord is her aim. Verses 9 and 10. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. There's no doubt that this past week, maybe some of you, especially mothers, have been overwhelmed by the feeling of failure. And in those moments, your shortcomings become way too clear for comfort. You know, a regular conversation that we have in our household is with me and Aaron. We'll sit down some days and it's like, man, this has been such a bad day, or it's been such a bad week. We sit there and we're like, are we like totally damaging our children with our parenting? You know what I'm talking about. I guarantee you have sat down with your spouse and said at some point, are we completely missing it? And you go through that process again of like, I have no idea what to do. People have been doing this since the beginning of time, and still we have no idea what to do apart from God's grace. We think about what is laid upon us as parents. Mothers, what has been laid upon you? And you think about other people. I think it's interesting, Hannah's prayer here, she has attention to people who are her enemies. And throughout this, it's like you read this and there's almost like a chip on her shoulder throughout the song. A longing for things to be made right, a groaning for righteousness to prevail. She derides her enemies now because she knows what awaits them in the end. Hannah's knowledge of the kingdom reminds her the things will not always be the way they are right now. So can you hear that, mother? You may be struggling. You may have a lot of days where you throw your hands up and you say, I don't know what to do here, but let me assure you from the word that things will not always be the way they are right now. In the end, the faithful ones will be taken care of. All of the wicked will endure the Lord's wrath. All things will be made right. So moms, you truly are the unsung heroes of our homes. And keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the surety of your success. The text tells us that the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This horn plays two roles here. It is the horn that they would anoint oil on kings from, but a horn is also representative of power. Jesus is the anointed king, but he is also the powerful victor. So, mom, can you see past the here and now to the king himself, Jesus? Mothers, you can succeed because Christ. Christ is your aim. If you want to show us Christ, make him your aim. As we conclude, I hope mothers, I hope you mothers can identify with Hannah. You read this prayer, this song. Maybe by the Lord's grace, he would turn your hearts and your minds away from the worry or concern of motherhood toward the things that are sure, towards the things that are unwavering, towards the things that are lasting. So that you, if you know the Lord, you can sing like Hannah. You can pray like Hannah. But here's the thing. The mother who does not know Christ. Look, we know you're trying hard to be a good mom. The only way that you will fully understand and fully celebrate your motherhood is in Christ and what he has done, how he has empowered you for this task. It's possible, maybe, mother, maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you need his strength. Maybe you need to have him as your aim. You need him. You know it. The scripture says, turn to him in faith. Be saved. Let him be the Lord of your motherhood. Maybe there's a measure of repentance for mothers. Maybe you're not finding those things in Christ. Maybe you're not looking for those things in Christ. Maybe you need to repent of whatever it is you're looking for from the world, from the flesh. In this moment, you may respond, repenting, believing, being restored. And then, children, all of us, children, we praise God that our mothers have pointed us to Jesus in whatever way they have. We praise God for that. Maybe you don't know Christ. Come to him and be saved. Mothers, show us Christ. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for the word, for the example of people like Hannah, a signpost, a reflection of the one who is perfect in every way, the one who is himself our righteousness, who is himself our resurrection. Pray that the hope that Hannah had in the Redeemer would be the same hope that we have. Father, we pray, God, that the truth of the gospel would arrest us in that way. That some would be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of marvelous light. God, that through the gospel, which is the power of God to salvation to anyone who believes, God, through this gospel, God, bring people into your family and give them mothers and brothers and sisters 100-fold through the church. Father, we pray you would allow the Holy Spirit to move among us, bringing about repentance, faith, bringing about change, transformation that we so deeply need. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Christ, which makes all this meaningful. It makes motherhood meaningful. We pray in his name. Amen.